Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry would like to invite you to our monthly men's breakfast, held every first, third, and fifth Friday of each month. You enjoy fun fellowship in the Word of God as we break bread together. The meetings are held at First Christian Church, 1130 North Main Street, Kernersville, North Carolina. We start promptly at 6:30 a.m. and have a hard stop at 8 o'clock a.m. Come, join your hosts, Will Hardy and Roy Jones Jr. Welcome to Man Talk, a ministry sponsored by TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, where we're devoted to breaking down the walls of race and denomination and to point men to their God-assigned roles. Now here's your hosts, Will Hardy and Roy Jones Jr.
Welcome to Man Talk Radio. This is Roy Jones, your co-host.
And this is Will Hardy, your other co-host.
You know, Will, we used to have the greeting of a white guy and a black guy, I guess, you know, for the people. This is still the same talk show that we just haven't been on here in a while, and with that particular greeting. But Will and I have been brothers now for going on 11 years, I guess. Here in just a few months, it'll be 11 years. We've been brothers a lot longer than that, but we've actually known each other the last 11 years.
Exactly.
Will, it's great to see you.
Hey, and it's good, Roy, to just see another year, you know, here in 2024, God has blessed us to
Amen.
See another one. We're thankful. We're thankful for the listening audience. We're thankful for all of the emails on prayer that we've received, you know, over the course of the holidays and beyond. And so we just thank God, you know, for just an opportunity again to just spread the gospel.
Amen. Well, it's important, especially coming off the season, right? And, you know, our Savior's birthday and celebrating that. And, you know, one thing I did notice about this past Christmas is it seemed more people were saying Merry Christmas and receiving Merry Christmas much easier than in the past. I'm wondering if the times we're in are creating a more acceptable response from others and more bold response or statement from others.
And I think when people start getting in trouble, you know, and they see like the economy and things happening abroad, that has a tendency to sort of pull people together. But then when those events and the circumstances around them start to fade, then we like revert back to the way things were.
Yeah.
But today, Roy, you know, we want to continue our conversation. You know, on our last talk, we talked about the Who Are You to Judge? And, of course, some of the materials coming from Erwin Lutzer's book, Who Are You to Judge? And we just thank God for his writing. And it's a great mm-hmm. topic. Material. And, you know, on our last discussion, we had an overview. We had sort of like a introduction, if you will, to Who Are You to Judge? And we quoted some scriptures and we talked about how folks have a way of not discerning and dividing the word of truth when they look at Matthew 7:1. Judge not that you be not judged, for with the same measure you judge. So what we have a tendency to do is if someone even speaks the word of God to them, then it's you're judging them rather than they listening to what you're saying.
Right, right.
And see, in the truth will set you free. That's what the word of God tells us.
Yes. Well, it's become human nature, at least in our lifetime, that nobody wants to hear anything from anyone else.
Mm.
I mean, that's
true.
We have become a society of, hey, I've got it under control, just like you mentioned earlier. We tend to lean away from God when everything's great. We tend to lean into God when things are tough. And it's a 24/7 relationship. And so with people today, they first missed that key element. It's a 24/7 relationship with our Savior. It's not a crisis management hotline that you call and say, hey, Father, I'm in trouble. Come help. Well, hey, he's sitting there saying, well, where were you when everything was great?
Exactly.
No praise, no adoration.
Exactly.
And so, you know, I'm here, but you're just going to have to run the season till I decide to change it, right? And so I think with people in general, they tend to sit back and just wait on things to happen. And this is one of those things. They don't want anybody to speak truth into them to help them grow in their life and in their walk. And one of the things I think people miss too, Will, is they fail to realize that the collateral damage that they cause when they're either not engaged or they respond in that manner that you're talking about earlier.
Well, Roy, I'd like to ask you a question. Should we judge doctrine?
Yes.
I'm glad you said that.
Because yeah. We haven't talked about this.
It looked like there was some hesitation there.
No. So, I wanted to make sure I knew where you were going with the question. But, and we haven't prepared this topic today.
But you're absolutely right. We should be judging doctrine because there's false doctrine being propagated throughout the country. We know that there's health and wellness preachers and prosperity preachers that's preaching out there. And the question becomes whether or not people who understand and know the truth should call these things out.
Yeah, and they should, as you and I know, they should. But it goes back to earlier, nobody wants to hear the comment from anyone else. They don't, no matter what it is, they just don't want you telling them or me telling you or you telling me what's right and what's wrong. And you and I know we have that kind of relationship that we can do that. Mm-hmm. And just like with Johnny and some others, we can talk openly about things that we need to do better. And that's the thing with today's doctrine, today's church of the 21st century, is that the church has become part of the world rather than just being in the world. They've become of the world, and which is really sad, and it speaks to what you're saying, doctrine issues. And what used to be wrong is now right, and what used to be right is now wrong. And we can go through the whole list of all those things that come to mind, right, that we've talked about in the past. And, folks, you at the listening audience can certainly come off the top of your head with 2, 3, 4 items quickly that you knew as a child that was wrong, and today all of a sudden it's accepted as being right. Any number of things.
Well, and it's like when we talk about salvation. Salvation, when you start tying things to salvation, rather than let the faith and trust believing in Jesus Christ. So when you start adding things to that's when you need to stop and think about whether or not you're rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Case in point is when the apostle Peter, when he was confronted by Paul, Peter was eating with Gentiles, probably having some ham and some eggs, and he was chowing out. And then all of a sudden the Judaizers came, and so he withdrew himself. And when he withdrew himself, then Paul witnessed that, and he confronted him. And he's saying, so if you're going to be a Jew, be a Jew. But don't make a Jew a Gentile, nor a Gentile a Jew.
Yep.
So, and I think that's one thing where we as a nation and born-again believers in particular have failed from that insight of understanding that we can't make anybody be anything.
Right.
But what we have to do is convey to them the gospel.
Exactly.
So when you start tying things like baptism, or you start tying things like feet washing or things like this
that you have to do
in order to be saved, then I think all of our antenna should go up.
Yeah, it really should, because Jesus made it very clear. It's just about believing on him and the fact that he died for us, the blood covered our sins, and that he rose on the third day, which proved his deity, right? So you bring up an interesting narrative just a moment ago, Will, when you were talking about that, about the flip-flop. I'm with this group today, so it's okay. Later on the meal, it's not okay because certain other ones have joined, right? So the hypocrisy of biblical times.
Absolutely.
So that's the when you're with us, you're one way. When you're with the other people, you're the other way. And we often talk about that, Sunday through Saturday face that we all put on as believers. Does, and we'll challenge you as the listener right now, does your Monday through Saturday face look the same as the one that everybody sees on Sunday? Are you the same person on Sunday as you are Monday through Saturday? Does your work and friend network see you as the same guy or lady that sits in church on Sunday morning?
And, when we talk about, an individual and rightly dividing the word of truth, if they don't understand portions of the scripture that you might be, quoting to them in reference to some actions or behavior that they're doing, you know, then it's left up to the person who's talking to them to explain what that means, so they could at least go and research it, you know, those things for themselves.
Right.
Because the Word of God clearly states in Galatians 1:8-9, it says that if an angel comes to you preaching any other gospel than what we have preached, the apostles, then that needs to be accursed, or anathema, as the old King James says. So in other words, you need to abhor that. You need to back away from it, because if you affirm that the gospel is true, the Word of God is true, then you have to deny every other doctrine.
Yes.
You have to deny it. You have to deny Mary Edie Whites. You got to deny all of what they're saying.
Right.
You know, or Mormons, that Joseph Smith saw this angel, you know, and so he gave him this gospel.
The new book.
Yeah, to be preached. Yeah. But see, there is no new prophecy.
No, not at all.
There, God has said everything that he needed to say in his word. So when you start hearing, going to places and you hear some apostle or some prophet says that, hey, I got a new word from the Lord, we need to understand, what do you mean when you say that? See, because if you're proclaiming and prophesying, not prophecy, but prophesying, which is simply to speak the word, if you're doing that and you're giving them a word maybe that they haven't heard before, or some information that they haven't heard before, again, they listen to that and they may not understand it, but then they need to go back again and research what they heard.
Right.
So, and that's what we need to be doing with every message that we hear on Sunday.
No, that's good, Will. And I would ask you this, if I'm a listener and they say, hey, I know some things aren't being done properly or aren't being addressed properly by my fellow brother or sister, how do I address that in a loving way so that they know I care about them, but secondly, that they know that scripturally it's not in alignment with what God is telling us through the word? How would you approach that?
Well, you know, Roy, the word of God gives us an approach when it comes to someone who is maybe not living up to the scripture expectations, not the wife expectations, not the husband expectations,
right,
not the friend expectations, but living up to the expectations of Christ, because Christ and the word of God is, we are expected to abide by it. So if we see something in a brother's and sister's life, then we go to them in private, first of all.
Right. That's the first and
foremost.
That's
the first and foremost. Go to them in private, and we lovingly convey that, you know, brother, I heard you say this, and or I saw you do this, or you're carrying on in such a way. Maybe you can explain why you did this.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing what that would do is open up the door for dialogue. And they might say, well, things may be a little rough at home, or, you know, child is going wayward.
Right.
You know, there's something going on there, or I'm having an issue with my boss at work.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll start to open up to you. And then I think you wouldn't have to go any further than to do that.
Yeah, then you've got an understanding why they're dealing with what,
absolutely,
and maybe the way they're reacting.
And then the person can understand what they're going through, and it doesn't have to go any further than that, because when they start to open up to you, then again, that's a gateway for you as the individual who is sharing with them to walk through.
Yeah.
You know, but it also gives them an avenue to say, hey, my brother came to me this way in a loving manner, shared with me the burden that he had on his heart because he didn't want to see me in this way or in this manner.
Yeah, that's good, Will. And as you were saying that, one of the things that comes to mind is, you know how the mind plays with you if you sit and dwell on things. So as the person that wants to go talk to the person, you may be building up a repertoire or a series of narrative that you shouldn't be, and just other than just coming at it with a pure heart and pray ahead of the conversation. And, you know, and then when you get in the middle of that conversation, just like you illustrated, you may find out that it's perfectly understandable why they are where they're at in that moment in time. So, and I think that's the biggest thing. If you think about the love of Christ and the love of us as followers of Christ, is having that compassion and that empathy and being able to understand when people are going through that, even though you personally may not have been through what they're going through, but you can still empathize and be compassionate through their journey.
Exactly, Roy. And see, and I think that's why, you know, when we're talking about doctrine, that's why doctrine is important.
Yes.
Because when we go, we're going according to the word of God. And we share with that brother or that sister, you know, I love you. And because I love you, this is why I want to share with what I'm sharing with you. And if I get an understanding on why you're doing what you're doing and you're understanding from my perspective why I'm giving you the word as a means of uplifting you, because all of us should be studying as Second Timothy talks about, study to show thyself approved
right.
unto God, you know, and we're workmen. And when we're workmen, we don't need to be ashamed of the work we're doing, which might be helping that brother or sister.
Right.
But we're rightly dividing the word of truth in giving them the word, so that could be a platform for them to stand upon once again if they fail from it.
Yeah, no, that's great, Will. And I think some of the things that come to mind when you think about judgment, and as you and I had texted earlier in the week when you said, hey, that we'll follow back up on our previous discussion. Something came to mind about judgment. What causes judgment? One of the things that came to mind, Will, is the gossip. That sometimes something may happen, and you know this goes back to that old nursery or elementary school exercise when, you know, the first person whispered to the person next to them, and by the time it got all the way around the room, it was nothing at all what was originally said. So that too is what we experience as followers of Christ, as non-followers, is that people will hear something or something happens and then someone starts to communicate it and doesn't give an accurate description or an accurate accounting of the conversation or happening. And then by the time it does its thing and Satan has spun all the wheels of yarn to network all this mess, all of a sudden you got a lot of collateral damage that you didn't expect or people didn't expect. And you say, wait a minute, why is this person acting this way? Or why is this group acting this way? And then you start tracking it back or tracing it back. Then all of a sudden you say, they were told untruths, you know, and then all of a sudden you have to deal with that side of it. So they were judging prematurely because they took some facts that information, I won't say facts. They took information they didn't check and didn't go talk to the person, like you said, one-on-one. And all of a sudden, they're curtailing all this information and disseminating it to people that don't even have the information right.
And see, and this is what Satan has done, and he's a master at it.
Master.
And because what he does, and Roy, you know, a person who gives half-truths when it comes to the Bible is more dangerous than a person who lies.
Mm.
Because what happened is we have a tendency sometime to hear the truth and not the lie of that half-truth.
Mm.
And so, and I'm thinking about a family member of mine who is an attorney, and they have to pull the truth from that individual. And the first thing they say when they take on a case, depending on whatever the case is they say, whatever you do, don't lie to me.
Right.
That's the first thing they say.
Yeah.
And so when the individual start, and then they'll go, tell me what happened. So the individual starts telling you what happened. Well, he don't want to put himself in a bad light, but he got to understand that you're his advocate.
Yeah, you can't defend him if you don't know what's what you really did.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, and that's going back to what you were saying earlier about information, who individuals who take information don't fact check it. They just take it as gospel and they start running off.
Right.
And again, I go back to the health and wellness gospel, because I hear a lot, especially from charismatic preachers and individuals who follow those particular denominations, say things like, you should never be sick. Or they say things like, the devil is the one who caused you to be sick.
Mm-hmm.
It's sin.
Yeah.
Sin, as a result of what Adam and Eve did in the garden,
is what
we have today.
Yeah.
So, but we do a lot of that, I think, to say to put ourselves in position that people will follow anything that makes them feel good.
Yes, so, and they will.
So we've become a feelings church rather than a church of truth.
Yeah, rather than a word-based church.
Indeed.
Yeah. Well, you know, that statement, and most people that have been in church many, many years, and then when they get into this feel-good gospel, if they happen to be there in a church where, or the church shifts to a feel-good gospel, what I call, just give them a few scriptures and, you know, encourage them, but don't step on their toes. Well, you know, people will say, hey, I wish the preacher would step on my toes because I need to learn, need to challenge myself, I need to be grown in my walk. So if you're giving me a feel-good message out there, and I'm not saying once in a while those aren't important to be encouraging, but, you know, folks, to the point, some of those people that are in church on Sundays, that's the only time they hear the word or the only opportunity they have to study the word.
Exactly.
Because of Sunday, so that they just showed up on a Sunday.
Exactly. And see, and that's I think what we as fellow believers need to convey to those folks. Because what happens is when we start getting to a point and we say to ourselves, hey, it's me, my, and I rather than we, us, and the body of Christ.
Yeah, exactly.
Then what we do is we start looking within and trying to find solutions rather than saying, here is the gospel message. And we need to come to the Word of God to find that answer that we're struggling with, you know, in this walk of life.
No, that's a good point, Will. Well, Will, we're getting down to the last minute or so. Parting words?
Well, I just want to say that if a person out there who is listening to this particular message, and again, Roy, if you're hearing feel-good service messages all the time, and let me stress that, all the time, and you're never hearing message of how you need to correct your life, or even a good hell, fire, and brimstone message.
Yeah,
I want to hear one.
Yes.
Or two or three or four. Yeah. Because see, what it does, Roy, is when you hear messages like that, it'll do one or two things. It'll turn you away from Christ, or it'll bring you closer.
Draw you closer. Amen.
And
Amen.
See, if I know that I'm not going there, when I hear a hell message, I can say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, because you can talk about hell all day. I'm not going.
I'm headed home.
So Amen. I can rejoice in hearing the message knowing that I'm not going.
Amen to that, Will. Well, folks, we just want to say first, thank you for joining us.
Amen.
Second, thank you for your support. If you do have a topic you'd like for us to address, please just drop an email out to info@tawcmm.com. And we would like to let you know real quickly, we've got a major event coming up January 26th and 27th in Kernersville, North Carolina at the Crossing Church North Main Campus with Friday night none other than the 20-time Dove Award winner, Jason Crabb. And we have two bands that will also be playing ahead of Jason Crabb, the Mountaintop Worship Band, and Taylor Vaden, whom many of you know in the area. So we'd love for you to join us. And then on the 27th, we'll have retired General W.G. Boykin from Black Hawk Down, former Green Beret commander, former Green Beret founding member, going to be with us. I know he's getting to a point in his career about probably close to retiring, so this may be our last opportunity to have him locally and close, so we'd love for you to come hear him and hear his story. We're going to be talking about the full armor of God. Two other people, Jane Lessard and Pat Tigg, two other great speakers. Going to be a great weekend. We'd love for you to join us. Go to Eventbrite, theintensive2024.eventbrite.com, theintensive2024.eventbrite.com. That'll link you straight to the opportunity to purchase tickets for our unbelievable weekend, January 26th and 27th. And again, we just want to thank you for joining us. It's been a great conversation, Will. Always good to see you. And we'll see you folks next week. God bless. We love you all. And Will, would you like to close us in prayer before
yes. We
shut down?
Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that you've given us here to speak the truth of the word. We thank you, God, for the subject matter. We thank you, God, that people who are listening to the podcast would just be vigilant in going and ensuring that what they're hearing, what they're saying is of the truth. We thank you, God, for the stand that we take because you said that if we have confidence in you, that we can ask anything in your name and you will do it. We thank you, God, for this opportunity and for all the blessings that you have shed upon us in 2023 and those that we are expecting in 2024. Thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will.
Hi, folks. This is Johnny, Talkum's producer for Man Talk Radio Podcast. Join us every second Saturday of the month at 8 a.m. for Bold, Becoming Obedient-Led Disciples, out at the Crossing at Union Cross Campus, located at 1650 Pecan Lane, Kernersville, North Carolina, 27284. Come grab a biscuit for your body and some fellowship for your spirit.
As we conclude today's show, TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, are building a community of men to be servant leaders in their home, communities, churches, and work environment. Check us out at our website for upcoming events and regular scheduled meetings. Don't forget to send us an email for topics that you would like us to visit in the future. Thank you for joining us today on Man Talk. Visit us at TAWCMM.com.